In these often troubled times between the first and second comings of our Lord Jesus Christ, people are sometimes compelled to leave their homelands in order to escape war, persecution, and oppression. To give an example that has been in the news quite a bit in recent years, more than 2 million inhabitants of the Darfur region of Western Sudan have had to flee to Chad, Ethiopia, and Kenya, where they have had to subsist in refugee camps for long periods of time. Other emigres, like Cuban families who left their country after Fidel Castro came to power almost 50 years ago, might be flourishing materially in Florida or other places, and yet the way they have closely monitored recent developments in Cuba suggests that they feel some of that nostalgia that prompted one Hebrew deported to Babylon to write in Psalm 137, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land?" The Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations in the era of the series of deportations of many Jews to Babylon. He warned that the Babylonian captivity would happen, wrote letters to those in exile after Jerusalem fell, and prophesied about a better future. In our pericope from chapter 23, Jeremiah five times used two Hebrew verbs that mean to scatter, to banish, to drive out. He understood the basic problem that the people of Judah were facing at that time, and the Holy Spirit inspired him to utter a messianic prophecy of rich Christological content in order to comfort them in their feelings of dislocation. Let's look more closely at the words of this messianic prophecy, focusing especially on the description of Christ as the righteous branch, in order to see how such words would have encouraged the Hebrew exiles in Babylon and how they can also give solace to us who are strangers and exiles on the earth. Jeremiah's prophecy presents the Messiah as one who empathizes with the troubled emotions of the exiles. In verse 4, the Lord says of the exiles, "They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing." Our Lord could sympathize with them because after his incarnation, he too would experience some of the traumas that refugees go through. Because of a Roman law, Mary and Joseph would not be able to stay in their home in Nazareth for the birth of Jesus, but would instead have to travel to another province and have the baby in a manger. As an infant, Jesus would have to set out in the middle of the night and go to Egypt in order to avoid being murdered by Herod. In the wanderings of his public ministry, Jesus would have no place on which to lay his head. After the murder of John the Baptist by Herod Antipas, Jesus would have to withdraw into the Gentile territories like the Decapolis and Tyre and Sidon in order to escape a similar fate. The messianic title of branch featured in Jeremiah 23 brought out the human nature of the Messiah. Israel was sometimes depicted as the vineyard of the Lord in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah 11, the branch comes forth as a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Similarly, Jesus was born as a baby, just as vulnerable as a branch which can just be torn off a tree and destroyed. A baby who is like any other human infant and who is a descendant of David, king of the Jews. As a result, Christ is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. The title of branch for the Messiah was appropriate for that occasion because it gave encouragement to a people in difficult circumstances. There is no triumphalism in this humble, unassuming messianic title. Instead, to call Jesus the branch communicates the idea that our Lord is able to bring new life where death seemed to have prevailed. Where there was a stump, and all that remained of a tree hacked down perhaps by an enemy, a shoot sprouts. Something small, not overwhelming. Something in keeping with the limited faith and strength of each person. A touch of green in a dry, brown environment. The basis for a new beginning. Jeremiah's prophecy also presents the Messiah as someone who could help exiles understand why they were undergoing such a tribulation. According to verse 5, the righteous branch deals wisely. In the Isaiah 11 passage, the branch is portrayed as a man on whom rests the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The exiles in Babylon probably put all of the blame for their sad state on Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, who had captured and ravaged Jerusalem and had led many of the people captive to Babylon. Jeremiah recognized the guilt of the Babylonians, for in chapter 50 he wrote, "Israel is a hunted sheep driven away by lions. First the king of Assyria devoured him, and now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has gnawed his bones." But the Messiah also taught through Jeremiah that the transgressions of Judah's leaders and the transgressions of the people as a whole were responsible for the Babylonian captivity. In his prophecies, Jeremiah denounced such sins at length, hoping that his audience would repent and that the catastrophe of the exile would be averted. Thus, right before our pericope in Jeremiah 23, the prophet detailed the sins of kings like Zedekiah and Jehoiakim. And right after our passage, he attacked the faithlessness and ungodliness of many prophets and priests of Israel. Earlier on, Jeremiah had denounced the idolatry of the people of Judah, saying, "Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars." In addition to explaining the reasons for the exile so as to produce repentance, the Messiah teaches how he overcomes these three causes so that people will believe and trust all the more in him. First, in verse 2, he declares that he will punish both the heathen nations and the faithless leaders of Israel. Then the Messiah is called king. Indeed, especially after his death on the cross and his resurrection, we understand that Christ is our king, priest, and prophet. Now he flawlessly serves us in those three capacities. As king, for instance, he enables the exiles back then and us today to dwell securely, even in the midst of dangers and upheavals. He specifically promises, "I will set shepherds over them who will care for them." And he has fulfilled this promise by establishing his church on the day of Pentecost, so that faithful ministers of the gospel can distribute his precious grace in the word and in the sacraments. Most importantly, the righteous branch asks believers to call him our righteousness, a phrase that may have helped Luther understand and formulate the doctrine of forensic justification. Here is the marvelous solution for the sins of Israel that precipitated the Babylonian captivity, and also for our sins, which often aggravate the inevitable challenges and difficulties we face in life. In Christ, God's perfect righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith. As a result, we are saved not just from the state of exile, but also from sin, death, and the devil. Finally, Jeremiah's prophecy presents the Messiah as someone who continues to act on our behalf today and tomorrow, and not only in the past. Sometimes conservative Christians are caricatured as antiquarians who keep on focusing on events that occurred almost 2,000 years ago and expect nothing important to happen now. The exiles in Babylon may have felt that way too, since the Lord who had given them the promised land had now allowed them to be driven out of that land. But in verses 7 and 8 of our text, the Lord said, "Behold, the days are coming when they shall no longer say, 'As the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt,' but they shall say, 'As the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them.'" And indeed, many exiles in Babylon would be witnesses of the marvelous acts of God as he brought down the Babylonian Empire and led his remnant back to Palestine. This messianic prophecy about Christ as the righteous branch gave Jeremiah the courage and the confidence that enabled him to declare in his book of Lamentations, "In the worst of times, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." After all, a branch is something that grows and bears fruit. From small beginnings, there can be large results, as in the parable of the mustard seed. Under the protection of the righteous branch, Jeremiah knew that he had the possibility of a very promising future. Thus, in this period of the liturgical year, in which we continue to rejoice in the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we can also be sure that because of that victory, we have a living hope. We can hope to bear much fruit in our future lives and ministries, and we can look forward to the imperishable and unfading inheritance that the Triune God has set aside for us in heaven. Amen.